you boys. It ain't MMA, and we're back.
We're back.
It's Vegeta Slim and Yamcha Monty.
I don't get that reference, but I'm going to go with that one was funny.
Dragon Ball Z, bro?
I don't watch. Hey, will you hit that switch?
Never in your life?
I mean, I've watched like episodes with Jack, but like I'm not like hip to like the lore and all that.
Oh, well, Yamcha was the one that always fucking died.
Oh, no, Yamcha.
That's you.
Got me.
Yeah, got him.
Good one.
Well, boys, we're back. Hey, so I just want to give a public apology to Ronnie Steiner.
Oh, wow. Why?
So I got trashed last night, and for some reason, his tattoo just pissed me off. And I went off on him.
Oh, my God. Please elaborate.
I was like, bro, do me a favor. Save up some fucking money and go somewhere decent. You're getting cool ideas, and they're being absolutely butchered on your body forever.
Jeez.
And he was just like, bro, it's not even your body. And I was like, I know, but you make me not want to get tattoos. You make me afraid to ever get a tattoo in my life now. And I woke up and I felt bad. So sorry, Ron. You do what you want to do, but I know a couple good Cleveland guys if you're interested.
Yeah, I got mine in a house in Cleveland. That didn't go well.
Yeah. No, I mean like legit. Fucking Phil Robertson.
Legit fucking poop like, sticks.
Put $500 on it or something, man. Throw fucking little
jeez,
little couple bands on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you?
So what's up, Slam Juice?
Fucking living the dream, boy.
What does that consist of?
Work. Wanting to kill myself every day.
Nice. Yeah, I got drunk earlier and passed out and woke up and here I am. And I just feel like talking a lot of shit to you today because you deserve it.
Oh, but I can't take a nap?
Well, not when it's time to record. Maybe at like 2 o'clock, like a normal person.
I was at work till 5. I guess I could have tried to work at lunch.
Finger papping your own butthole.
Ew. Crusty fingernails and shit.
So yeah, what do we got for like news or something?
So this last fight card, UFC 240. How close did you listen to the commentary? Because you bought the fight, right?
Yeah,
I didn't, but was watching nonetheless. I didn't really listen that close because I was chilling with the members of Takeoff Charlie at Roberts. We were having like a little cookout, and whatnot. So I was just nice. I was like loosely watching while I was interacting with them.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay attention to the commentary that much, but apparently the internet went nuts on Joe Rogan.
For what?
Apparently he did a shit job. I don't know. I didn't get that vibe.
I didn't think so at all.
Yeah. Apparently the internet was just putting Joe Rogan to shame.
Hmm. That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, the first thing on MMA Mania here, UFC 240, the morning after Joe Rogan reaches a new low on commentary.
Dude, I didn't see that at all.
Let's see what people are mad about.
Oh, I had like a string of tweets here, but I lost them. Yeah, I lost them, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he was saying weird stuff or they were saying like he wasn't doing enough and then John Anik had to pick up the slack and it's like, okay, well, there's only two. I actually kind of like the two-person dynamic. We haven't seen that in a while. Well, at least with Joe.
Hmm. I guess it just says, John Anik was forced to pick up the pieces more often than not in his attempts to drive the conversation in a direction that at least resembled relevance to the ongoing fight.
Right.
I
didn't get that. Did not get the vibes. Did you?
I mean, they numbered them here.
Oh, they got a list?
Yeah, so number one, Jillian Robertson soundly out-grappled Sarah Frota en route to a second-round technical knockout victory. The fight lasted about 9 minutes, and Rogan spent a majority of them and a question of the post-fight interview talking about Frota's jiu-jitsu accolades and how special they were. All the while, Robertson was working past the guard and denying submissions with great skill, work that was largely ignored until it ended the bout.
Wow.
So that was number one. Number two, Rogan may just die holding his breath while he waits for Chris Cyborg to get tired. Every time Cyborg walks to the cage, Rogan talks about her weight cut and how it's likely to affect her in the cage. Nevertheless, Cyborg can fight 15 or 25 minutes strong, pushing a hard pace and ripping brutal shots. Last night was the latest example, as Rogan claimed Cyborg looked exhausted at the end of the first round, a round Cyborg violently dominated,
right,
followed by two more rounds which Cyborg violently dominated with no change in pace or demeanor.
Interesting.
And number three, at the end of the third round of their title fight, Frankie Edgar finally scored a takedown on Max Holloway. His control lasted maybe a dozen seconds, and he landed perhaps a handful of punches. Holloway, meanwhile, had spent the entire first round jamming his fist into Edgar's eye socket and splattering nose blood all over the octagon. Not even a Jersey boy like myself could hope to argue that round in favor of the answer. But Rogan spent a silly amount of time discussing the possibility and potential consequences. By the way, did everyone reading know that Max Holloway is the absolute, not up for debate, hands down, only an idiot would think otherwise, 100% greatest featherweight of all time? It was only stated as a fact a few dozen times because fuck Jose Aldo.
Damn.
Wow.
I mean, my opinion,
that was not my... That was Andrew Richardson. You guys can reach him at Andy L. Richardson on Twitter if you have anything to say about that.
I mean, I think he's the GOAT.
Ooh.
He's like getting all the Infinity Stones now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I had noticed a couple times, I guess, that Anik would say something and Joe wouldn't really respond, but I didn't think it was like that bad. Jeez.
Yeah. Slim Stradamus back at it again, two times last week.
Yeah.
Not only did I predict that that Lembos dude would pop for USADA, which he did pop for a steroid, I believe.
Osterine, I think. Or no, it was a anabolic steroid.
Yeah. I also called out that James Vick better move up to welterweight. And guess what happened the day after we dropped the episode? You moved up to welterweight.
Yeah, you're so smart, bro. I mean... Some people's brains just don't even compute on the level of yours.
You know, I'm really using about 50% of my full potential right now. Wait till I get to, like, 75%. I'm going to be making shit move with my mind. And maybe you'll like me then.
The Force?
Yeah. I got midichlorians in my bloodstream.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. All right. But, yeah, you did call those, so good job. So yeah, I mean, I guess let's get into UFC 240, Holloway versus Edgar. And just a reminder, Slim was at four. His deficit was down to four going into this card.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the first one, Slim.
So we had Eric Coach finding Coach, yeah. Whatever.
I guess it's Coke. I don't know.
I don't know. Finding a new home at welterweight, going up against Kyle Gunsub Stewart.
Yeah, so my prediction in this one was very off. I thought Stewart was going to be the much bigger fighter, maybe a little bit more athletic than Coke at this weight class, but...
I didn't like Stewart's stance. It was, like, very karate-heavy, and he was just getting blasted.
Yeah, well, I mean, Eric Coke also was just really active, just working his combinations pretty well, just looked strong at welterweight, definitely didn't, you know, look small, I don't think, by any means, so... looking healthy at 170, finally got back in the win column by defeating Kyle Stewart. The judges' scorecards were 30-27, and two judges had it 29-28.
I would have gone with 30-27.
I agree. So, yeah. I agree, Slim.
New home for Coach. Coke.
Slim Pally, I guess. I don't know. Let's call you.
Going on this next fight, we had Jillian Robertson going up against Sarah Frota. I didn't see this one happening this way at all, but damn, Jillian Robertson's a badass.
Yeah, for sure.
She took Sarah Frota down with ease every single time.
Well,
I mean, it was two out of three takedowns, but still.
Actually, last week I talked about how Sarah Frota's takedown defense is very, very finicky and how it could be exposed. Like I said, there's going to be a possible route here for Jillian Robertson to take if she gets that takedown and can be on top, and she definitely did it. So I started the night rough. Me and Slim both going 0-2 in our predictions, but Jillian Robertson, her four victories are now the most in flyweight history.
Oh, damn.
She needs a number by her name, first off.
How's she not?
Right. Her four stoppage victories in UFC women's flyweight competition are, of course, most in divisional history, and she got the first knockout of her career.
Wow.
Yeah. Sarah Froza is now 0-2 in the UFC after starting her career 9-0. Yeah, that was her first time being knocked out as well. So
maybe move up to bantamweight because she looks like a giant.
I mean, that was her flyweight debut. She was at 115 before. Oh,
that's
before.
Right. That's right.
I don't know.
Maybe Jillian's just that good.
Jillian definitely needs a number by her name. I think that's for sure. So, yeah, like I said, Slim and I starting out rough, 0-2.
And that was the Fight Pass prelims because, as we mentioned, that Limbo Sky got caught.
Yep.
And that wiped the fight off the card.
Mm-hmm.
Going on to the next fight, we had, like I said, it's Fight Pass. Now we're on to the prelims. Was this on ESPN?
ESPN2.
Yeah. we had Andre Pantoja going up against Davison Figueiredo. I got this one right.
You called him Andre Pantoja, though?
Alejandre, sorry.
yeah, you did get this one right. Good for you, buddy.
I thought Davison Figueiredo would come out, just have the combinations, and that's exactly what he had.
Yeah, it was a very evenly matched fight here, but like you said, Davison Figueiredo was just a little bit too much.
I can't believe he didn't get the stoppage.
It was close, but...
it looked like every single time he hit Pantoja, he was, like, just knocking him off his rails.
Yeah, Pantoja's real tough. I mean, he's actually never been knocked out. All of his losses are by decision, so tough cookie there in Pantoja. But Davison Figueiredo, you know, lost to top contender Juicy A. Formiga, but I do think he's got a great chance at making another run for the title.
For sure, if they, you know, still do that sort of thing.
Yeah, Davison Figueiredo with the victory over Alejandre Pantoja.
Chandre?
Alejandre.
I thought it was Alejandre.
No, it's...
Alejandre. Okay.
30-27s across the board. But yeah, that took Slim's deficit down to 3. Panicking, I am.
Fuck you. Absolutely shaking in my boots. Oh, my God. All right, going on to this next fight. We had Gavin Tucker, the Newfoundland Terror, mm-hmm. going up against Sungwoo Choi.
Good job.
His nickname is Sting. I believe we both picked Choi in this one?
No, I believe we both picked Tucker in this one.
Okay. Yeah, dude, Gavin Tucker looked awesome. The Canadian homeboy, getting started.
Yeah, so it's funny, I actually called this one to go by stoppage in my predictions. Finally got one right. I did say it was going to be in the first round. Ended up being the third, but nonetheless, I predicted that Gavin Tucker was going to get that submission victory over Sungwoo Choi. So that was my first little goodie I did for the night there. Gavin Tucker looking legit, man. He had that loss to Rick Glenn, but, I mean, he's nice out there.
For sure.
He's tough. He pushes the pace very, very hard. Great wrestling, good striking, great submission game, as we saw. Gavin Tucker's a problem in the featherweight division. Be on the lookout for him. And Sungwoo Choi, you know, unfortunately, had a couple tough draws here, his first couple UFC fights. But, you know, I still think he's very talented. I think he does belong in that featherweight division. He's 0-2 now, and that's the first time he was submitted. So.
Right.
Gavin Tucker, 9 of his 11 victories are now by stoppage. So he's always hunting for that stoppage victory, and he got it on this night in front of the home crowd. Rear naked choke, 3 minutes and 17 seconds into the third round for Gavin Tucker.
Jeez. Nice. Going on this next one, we had Hakeem Duadu going up against Yoshinori Hori. Hakeem making his bantamweight debut. Looking like a giant.
This was at featherweight.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was 135.
145.
Oh, he was at lightweight. Right?
One second on that, Slim.
But like I said, Hakeem Duadu looking like an absolute he's been at terror. Featherweight. I thought he was moving down. Are you sure it wasn't bantamweight?
He's been at featherweight, dog.
Yeah, but are you sure this wasn't bantamweight? I thought it was 135.
It was at featherweight, dog.
All right, Doug. Hakeem, the Destroyer.
Yeah, Yoshinori Hori, though, coming in as the underdog, putting on a really good performance. Very strong punches at the Japanese fighter here. Thought he belonged in there with Hakeem Duadu for sure. Until that third round, Tuatu started to kind of rack up that damage and ended up landing an absolutely vicious head kick, getting the knockout over Ori. I called this one too. I said Hakeem Tuatu was going to get a TKO victory, which he ended up getting. I said it was going to be in the first round, another one in the third round, but nonetheless, predicted the stoppage. Go me. Hakeem Tuatu defeated Yoshinori Hori via head kick, 4 minutes and 9 seconds into the third round. That brings my record on the night to 2-3, and Slim is sitting at 3-2.
Hey, we're up.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
On to this next one. We had Alexis Davis going up against Vivian Araujo. We got this one wrong.
Nope. We both picked Vivian Araujo.
Oh, never mind. I thought. All right, my bad. yeah, Vivian Araujo. Just an absolute great performance. Mm-hmm. Alexis Davis went 0-4 on takedowns, mm-hmm. and Araujo had no problem getting the two that she went for. Alexis Davis landing a lot more strikes than Araujo, though. 134 yeah. to 79.
Yeah, strikes. But Araujo's damage, her punches did a little bit more damage Alexis Davis's. She was getting busted up pretty good. Much more powerful punches by Vivi. Yen, Vivi was her...
Vivi?
That was her nickname?
Yeah, Vivi. V-I-V-I.
So she's 2-0 now in the UFC. That was the first decision victory of her career. So that streak was unfortunately snapped, but...
Was that the one that was at 135 when she made her debut and she knocked Chick out?
I think she fought like...
You know what I'm thinking of? She was like late-minute replacement. That might have been someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you're talking about, but I can't think right now if that's
because I think she usually fights at 125 and she was up like 2 weight class or something. Or one... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But Alexis Davis is now on a 3-fight losing streak, which is the longest of her career. She hasn't won since December of 2017, and she's now 1-3 since she went down to that UFC flyweight division.
Oof.
So, you know, tough going. She was much better up in the 135 division.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see what's next for Alexis Davis. But nonetheless, Vivi Araujo. An absolute savage in there. I think she's the real deal here in this flyweight division.
I agree.
With the power and the submission game she has, watch out. But that was a preliminary card there on ESPN. Pretty good. Had a knockout, had a submission, and some good action there. So that brought me to 3-3. Slim is at 4-2.
Hey, going on this next one. On to the pay-per-view. We had Marc-Andre Barriault going up against Krzysztof Jatko. This one went exactly how we said it would.
Yep, and one judge ended up actually having it for Barriault.
No,
I did not think so whatsoever.
No.
but yeah, he's lost all three of his losses now by decision, Marc-Andre Barriault. 0-2 now in the UFC. Just struggling.
A little bit.
Had a couple tough draws in Andrew Sanchez, and then obviously a little bit of a step up in Krzysztof Jatko. But
cut off a loss? Jesus.
I think they're just trying to get him in front of the Canadian crowd, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Is that the way to do it, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, if he would have like done something crazy to Jatko, that would have been awesome for him. But
Jatko has now won 7 of his 8 UFC victories by decision. Not much of a finisher.
No. But he only got that one in his last fight, didn't he?
Yeah. But nonetheless, Jatko now 8-4 in the UFC, getting back to his winning ways, looking pretty good out there. And, yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Slim and I improve our records a little bit more.
A little bit better. Not in this next one, we had Alvin Mercier, the Canadian gangster, going up against Armand
Sarukian.
Damn it, Sarukian did that fucking last week too. What's his nickname?
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
Alakalakets?
something like that.
I don't know. But, man, Armand absolutely taking off on up in Mercier in his hometown. Jeez. That dude's scary.
Yeah. Saryukin, man, his striking.
22 years old.
Yeah, his striking's just excellent. Wrestling. I mean, he was wrestling Olivier Aubin Mercier to death.
To be fair, he only landed 2 of 11 takedowns. That's 18%.
But he was pressuring him. He was hanging on him a lot.
It was so, a lot of clinch work.
Yeah, just tiring Aubin Mercier out. Armand Saryukin, like you said, only 22 years old. Fought Islam Makhachev, another young, promising prospect. You know, I kind of think those two might end up being like the Holloway and Poirier type, and like McGregor, like those are the young ones that are fighting like right now, but in, you know, maybe like 5 years, 6 years, those guys might be champions, might be perennial contenders.
That's
so
fair. I like that. Mercier's only 30.
I'm talking more like Armand Saryukin fighting Islam Makhachev.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah,
there will be champs.
Yeah,
one of them will be.
But Aubin Mercier, you know, he's still very promising, but he's now 7-5 in the UFC with all 5 of those losses by decision.
Isn't he on like a 3-fight losing streak now?
He's on a 3-fight losing streak, obviously the longest of his career. Hasn't won since April of last year.
Yuck.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get back to his ways, but a really tough loss here in front of the home crowd. You know, he probably really wanted this one, but Armand Saryukin, man, just way too much. Way too much. Way too skilled. 29-28 exactly. Across the board.
I would have gave it 30-27, but
I think Aubin Mercier stole that. I think it was the second round.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. You can give it to him.
But anyway. Yeah, let's move on to our second disagreement of the night.
Grrr. Jeff Hands of Steel Neal, who I'll never pick against ever again. going up against Nico with a hybrid price.
What did you think when you were watching this one?
Sadness.
Were you hyped, though? I mean, Nico was hurting Jeff Neal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nico put on a good performance, but, dude, the fucking takedowns of Jeff Neal, brutal.
Yeah, I mean,
and beating him up in his guard, first and second round, finishing him in his guard in the second round.
The punching power and the wrestling. Just, I mean, the pure power and strength.
That's a scary dude.
Of Jeff Neal at welterweight, man. I mean,
you know what it was? Nico only went for headshots. He did not go to the body. He did not go to the leg.
Not at all?
Nope.
Wow. Nico's now 5-3 in the UFC. Of course, all those losses by stoppage, all his fights except one have gone the way of stoppage. So yeah, we know Nico Price either goes for it
or gets it.
And he got on this one, but man, was it exciting. It was extremely fun to watch. Ended up, Jeff Neal got himself a performance of the night bonus, along with Hakeem Dawodu, and the fight of the night went to Davison Figueiredo in Pantoja.
Definitely fight of the night. We didn't expect that either.
No. I did pick that as my dark horse for fight of the night last week on the podcast.
I thought we were talking about this one as fight of the night.
I said this one was like my, you know, favorite the night, but that other one was my little dark horse.
That's fair.
But yeah, man, I went with Jeff Neal with this one just because of the slick, powerful striking, and obviously he also showed some wrestling grits.
What's his win streak, you said?
Jeff Neal is currently on a 6-fight win streak since he joined the UFC. He's now, if you want to include Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, 5-0.
Get that man a number.
Bro, wins over Kamozi, Frank Camacho. Like you said last week, he dominated Bilal Muhammad. Who does that? And then to knock out Nico Price in the fashion that he did.
Get that man a number.
Jeff Neal. I think
number 15 right now?
Not sure. But like Joe Rogan did say, I think it was Joe Rogan, said on the telecast there, Jeff Neal might be Fortis MMA's best hope at a title belt.
Who's who else is in Fortis?
Fortis MMA is like, trying to think. Was
not sure.
Kevin Lee there for a second?
Number 15 is Vicente Luque at welterweight.
Oh, man, that would be a foyer foight.
Lizu Dos Santos is 14, Neil Magny 13.
Hmm.
I like all three of those for him.
Maybe him versus, yeah, I'd like him versus Dos Santos.
That'd be nice. Yeah, Dos Santos on a heavy win streak himself. Hmm. Yeah, dude, give
Jeff. Darren Williams trains at Fortis MMA, the old basketball player. That's crazy.
Really?
I don't know. They don't have. I don't know why I can't find their fighters.
Nonetheless, Jeff Neal getting it done in impressive fashion.
Nonetheless, I'm slim.
Round two, TKO.
Steven Ocho Peterson. Alex Morono.
Okay.
Yeah, slim.
Definitely their best chance. No offense.
Diego Ferreira.
All right.
I think that's... Ooh, they have Abdul Razak Al-Hassan.
Oh. No. Damn, they're in the same weight class, too.
Charles Byrd. Alonzo Menifield.
Oh, shit. Okay, no. Yikes. They got some strike...
All big, scary black men go to Fortis MMA.
They got some hitters. Okay. Well, on to this next one.
Kennedy is Enzo Chekwu, who's coming up next week. Macy Shason.
Still going.
All right. I'm done. Sorry.
So...
Sorry to cut you off, Slim.
I went out on a limb. I was like, you know what? Maybe Cyborg actually took... You know, maybe her getting knocked out was the beginning of the end. She's getting older. She's been doing this a long time. Hasn't absorbed too much damage. I mean, maybe that knockout was a spell at the beginning of the end. I went with Felicia Spencer.
I love how you like tried reasoning with the people before telling them.
I tried.
You know how I sent you that gif of it looked like a never ending fucking poopy?
Yeah.
That was you shitting your pants for that pic, bro. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I just shit my pants. Wait till you smell it.
Oh, jeez.
you didn't even comment when I said, oh, what, chicken nuggets?
Yeah, and Jack said, when I showed him that and was laughing, he was like, oh, what are those, chicken nuggets? I was like...
Pink slime, bro.
I thought it was like a Frosty. Like a chocolate Frosty.
Pink slime, bro. The McDonald's nuggets with the beaks and shit.
But yeah, this dude Slim fucking picked Felicia Spencer by the grace of God. I knew once he gave me Jeff Neal and Chris Cyborg for the night, I was like, oh wow, this man Slim's on some trash. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I might be high, as in talking about yourself. Geez, were you high?
Yeah, I was. And I'm getting sick Friday night. That's, you know.
But, yeah.
Wait, no, I didn't pick these till Saturday.
Huh. Nope, you didn't.
I don't know. Oh, well, I was probably a little hungover. Yeah. That'll do it.
Reason with yourself however you want. You did shit.
Yeah.
But Chris Cyborg ended up getting caught by, what would you call that? Like a
spinning back?
A Superman elbow?
Yeah. First time Chris Cyborg's ever been cut in her fighting career.
Is that true?
Yes.
Where'd you see that stat?
Pretty sure they talked about it on the broadcast.
Mm. Well,
or afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, cut her open very
with
first.
Yeah, on her forehead.
A hard one.
It was
too.
Leaking.
She had to get some stitches on it. But
Felicia Spencer wore a white tank top, and that shit turned red.
Yeah, but that would be her one, I'd say, highlight of the fight, other than people commending her for her toughness for the 3-round ass whooping she took.
For sure. I mean, she did. She did look good in the clinch.
Definitely.
She was pressuring Cyborg. She obviously belongs in
this
weight class.
Eating a lot of knees.
Oh, God. I did not really agree with Joe when he was like, oh, Cyborg's tiring down. Look at Felicia Spencer about to take off. I was like, she's not.
Yeah.
She's just got in a bad spot, and she's going to work her way out of it.
Right.
Like, there's no... Cyborg's not in danger. Not the moment.
No.
Unless she gets taken down. I thought Felicia Spencer, if she was able to work the takedowns... I thought that's where she was going to win that fight, but kind of like the Jillian Robertson fight.
Right, right.
But it didn't happen that way. She got pieced up on the feet for 15 minutes.
It happened exactly like I said it would. Felicia Spencer was trying to get that takedown, couldn't get it, and was just inferior on the feet with Cyborg, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, that ended up taking Slim's deficit to 5.
Again?
That's where he's back at.
Hovering,
we'll be sitting
apparently.
There going into next week's card, which we will be discussing. But thank you for that gift of picking Felicia Spencer, Slim. You goofy, goofy man.
Welcome.
So that took me to 7-3 on the night, with Slim going 5-5 right now.
Shout out Felicia Spencer, though. Her second fight in the UFC, coming out in her home country against one of the greatest female fighters of all time.
Yeah.
And going all 15 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
Never earning, really looked in, like, danger.
No, earning a lot of respect. I mean, she was getting pieced up a little bit there towards then. When Cyborg started turning it on, you could see, you know, if she kept it going, she would have ended it. But didn't have enough in that aspect of being able to finish her. But Felicia Spencer earns the respect from a lot of fight fans. And I think, like you said, she belongs in this featherweight division. She needs to just keep kind of maybe getting higher and higher in the competition instead of going from...
Yeah.
While there's not a lot, though, I mean, there's not too many fights.
You went from a plateau to a mountain, my girl.
Yeah, but, hey, I mean, I guess, you know, there's not too much. Megan Anderson's considered one of the premier fighters in that division, so...
True.
What else could she do? But, yeah, Chris Cyborg with 30-27s all across the board, defeating Felicia Spencer, which takes us to the championship bout. The featherweight belt was on the line.
Yes, the answer, Frankie Edgar, former lightweight champ, going up against Max Bless Holloway, a potential GOAT at featherweight.
Potential GOAT or he's undoubted, no questions asked GOAT?
He's my GOAT. I mean, he still has 5 more defenses to break Jose's record, but you know what's crazy
to me? But he beat Jose twice.
You know what's crazy to me? There's only been 3 featherweight champions, and only 2 have defended belts.
Wow.
That's nuts when you think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a race between Jose and Max Holloway at this point.
I just think there's no questions asked. Max is definitely the greatest.
No, I think Max has fought the who's who.
Yeah.
And done it spectacularly.
Right.
Barely broke a sweat in this fight. I mean, he was getting pieced up.
Frankie was coming in and landing some burst combos.
Yeah, Frankie did land some nice shots. This was actually Max Holloway's lowest output in terms of total strikes in last, like, 5 fights, I think.
Still landed over 100 strikes, though, which makes him the first fighter in UFC history to land over 100 strikes 5 fights in a row.
Right.
Significant strikes, that is.
He's now at 1,937.
While as the second closest person sits at, I believe it's like 1,500 something.
Yeah. I don't even remember who it was.
Frankie's like a third.
Okay.
Or fourth. Okay. It might be like Bisping or something.
Yeah, something crazy. Frankie Edgar going all 5 rounds in this. Breaking his own record of having the most UFC fight time at 7 hours.
Yeah, to be exact, it's 7 hours, 12 minutes, and 33 seconds.
Insane.
Absolutely nuts with some killers, some of the best fighters in the planet. He's been locked in the cage for 7 hours.
Fought Gray Maynard twice, fought BJ Penn twice, fought Benson Henderson twice.
Yep.
All decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. Mm-hmm. Oh, fought Jose Aldo twice.
Yep.
Nuts.
Yeah. Frankie Edgar, we'll start with his accomplishments. So he now, of course, does have 5 losses in the UFC championship fights, which are most in company history. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the worst stat. But
it's going to only go up from here.
Yeah. He is 8-4 since he went down to the UFC featherweight division. So, I mean, you know, still top in that division, definitely.
Right, right, right.
His 1,573 significant strikes landed in UFC competition are now second most in competition in company history. Wow. So it's actually Frankie Edgar at number 2. I think, did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So nice. He moved up with that one. He also now has 68 takedowns landed in competition, which are tied for 4th in company history behind GSP, Gleison Tibau, and Demetrius Johnson.
And he also tied his own record of most takedowns per fight of 15 in this one. Well, nice. Attempted.
Nice.
He only landed 1.7%, but
right.
You know.
Right. Now to Max Holloway. His 3 consecutive featherweight title defenses are most among current male UFC champions and second most overall behind, of course, Amanda Nunes.
Right. And this snaps his 4 fight featherweight finish streak. This is the first decision he's been to in featherweight titles.
Nice. But his 16 victories in UFC to combat your Jose Aldo argument, Max Holloway's 16 victories in UFC featherweight competition are now most in divisional history. So most
current
wins ever.
Like, combined?
Just most ever in featherweight history. Holloway's 16. His 13-fight UFC winning streak in the featherweight division is longest active streak in the division, of course. I don't think anybody's even close.
No. Someone might have like four.
Max.
Well, Volkanovski has like six or seven.
Right. Max, at 27 years old, is now the youngest fighter in history to earn 17 UFC victories.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
And he's only going to get better.
Right. Max Holloway became the first champion to record a successful title defense immediately after suffering a loss since BJ Penn did it at UFC 101.
Oh, shit. That was against...
Was that coming off a loss to Frankie Edgar as well? Or
no, BJ Penn fought Candy Florian at 101.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I read that today. That's the only reason. I'm not just like...
just knew that.
My brain wasn't working like that.
Max Holloway is now the first UFC fighter in history to land 100 or more significant strikes in 9 separate UFC fights. So he's got the streak of 5, and he's at 9 overall.
Which, and you could tell in this fight, like I said, his lowest output in a while.
Yeah, but still, just... That's
he did
still
enough.
A lot.
Yeah,
that's still a
he
lot.
Did enough.
And Max Holloway's total fight time of 4 hours and 7 minutes in the featherweight division is second most behind only Darren Elkins. So
really?
I'm sure he'll be catching him pretty soon.
The damage.
Yeah. But yeah, that was UFC 240 overall. I thought it was an absolutely...
Well, let's talk about the actual fight. We just talked stats. The actual fight, though, I think Frankie had a pretty good game plan. Just, you know, stick and move and use his footwork to get in there. But Max, you could tell he was at a little bit lower of a stance, and he kept his hands
Definitely.
Out a little bit longer.
Controlling that
controlling the
that
range,
space.
Yeah. So you could tell Max was definitely trying to avoid the takedown. He landed 120 strikes at distance.
Mm-hmm.
And when Frankie did get the takedown, he, like you said earlier, he only held him for like maybe like 12 seconds.
Right.
Which, you know, what control did he really have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try 12 times, you might get one, you know,
right.
on Max Holloway. That's just how it goes.
Right.
But I think Holloway had a great game plan. Like I said, he seemed a lot more cautious in this fight. And he even said in the post fight, I wanted to prove that I could take him 5 rounds, mm-hmm. and that's why I don't think he searched for the finish as much as he did with Ortega.
Yeah.
Because with Ortega, it was just an absolute monstrosity
yeah.
of punches. But yeah, no, Max Holloway proving that he is, in my opinion, the best featherweight of all time.
Absolutely. Who do we think's next? I mean, we know who's next.
Volkanovski 242.
Yeah.
Or 243, whatever
if
one of
If Max decides that's what he wants to do, that'll be just...
Which
absolutely magnificent.
To note, Alexander Volkanovski actually weighed in as an alternate.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Just in case one of them didn't make weight, and mm-hmm. he made weight.
Right. 144 and a half.
Yeah, and he went through a hell of a fucking time trying to do it. Crazy flight delays and, like, just crazy shit. Like, red eyes from fucking Australia.
Yeah,
like,
just shows that he's ready, though.
For sure, and I think he deserves this. It was weird that neither the UFC nor Max Holloway wanted to comment on if he would take the fight or
mm-hmm.
if he was, you know, feeling like he wanted to take the fight. He said he wants to fight another time this year. I think that's perfect, perfect lineup.
Yeah.
He really didn't take that much damage. You could see it on his face. He looked fine.
Yeah, if the UFC can get a main card that consists of, I mean, that headliner with Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya, that's obviously the biggest fight in Southern Hemisphere history.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then that, add on Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski for
as
the featherweight belt.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's selling out right there.
Bro.
Put Jimmy Crute there on the main card.
Yeah, I think he already is, right?
Probably. Let's check that out. Let's see who's already on UFC 242s.
Yeah, Max Holloway saying that he wasn't sure.
Oh, shit, 242s. Khabib and...
40. Oh, yeah, it's 243. Max Holloway saying he's not sure if he's going to be able, I guess, to fight on that card. He said he needs to go get his medicals checked out, which, you know, maybe there are still some lingering health issues. Oh, another thing that fucking the MMA Twitter community was doing was
Weirdos.
Saying that Max Holloway was looking weird. before the fight. They're like, yo, where's Bisping to call out that he has something wrong? Is that a limp that he's got going on there? Is that what's wrong with Max? He's got a little lisp going. Like, no, yeah. Max sounded fine.
Yeah, people are goofballs.
Did you see the interview with him and Rush that Ariel Helwani did?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. I like that Rush is like a part of this now.
Oh, yeah. He definitely makes fatherhood look super fun, and Rush is like the poster boy of UFC children.
For sure. There's no one better.
The NBA has Riley Curry. The Who? UFC has... Huh?
Who?
Steph Curry's daughter.
Oh.
Wow.
That's like a baby, though. Like,
she's like not a baby anymore, and she wasn't a baby then.
Isn't she like 4?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Rush is only 5.
No, Rush is like 8.
Is he?
7 or 8, yeah. Dude, he's playing like football and shit. Didn't you see the UFC Embedded?
5-year-olds play flag football.
Nah, but he was going in.
On UFC 243, Megan Anderson will be fighting a UFC newcomer.
Nice.
Luke Jumeau will be fighting Diego Lima.
Where's he been?
Who, Cool Hand Luke? Or that's not Cool Hand Luke.
No.
That's the Jedi, mm-hmm. Luke Jumeau. Last time he fought, he beat Daichi Abe.
Nice.
Nadia Kassem will be fighting Ji Yeon Kim.
She's from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Tai Tuivasa versus Sergey Spivak.
Hey.
Jorgen De Castro, who just got that Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series contract via leg kicks.
Oh, a week one?
Yeah. He's fighting Tai Tuivasa's boy, Justin Taffa, who's making his UFC debut.
Ooh.
But yeah, that's all that's confirmed for right now.
Fuck yeah.
Or announced.
Yeah, I swore Jimmy Crute was on there, but I might be wrong.
Oh, he will be. He will be for sure.
Anyway, yeah, absolute dominant performance by Max Holloway. I really hope they get to make that fight. Hope everything checks out with him and he can defend his belt again, because although I think Volkanovski's a great fighter, I think this was tail of the tape for things to come.
I agree with that one, Slim. You're awesome.
Hey, look at that. Did you hear that, folks? I'm gonna fucking make a sound clip of that.
But yeah, Slim and I are going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll be back to preview next week's card that is going to be headlined by Colby Covington, ANA MMA's greatest rival.
Chaos is back!
While he takes on fan favorite Robbie Lawler.
Ugh, this is bad for him.
We got a lot to talk about, Slim. We'll be right back.
I'm going to take off on you.
Why would you do that?
Because you're a big meanie.
Who's being mean?
All you girls go for the big bullies.
Your hero.
The hero I never knew I needed.
That's funny.
Yeah, even though I'm not short as shit.
Yeah, you don't have Napoleon complex.
Bro, did you see the video of him boxing?
Mm-mm.
Dude.
Good?
No.
Oh.
No.
No,
baby, hang on. Let me look it up. It's, oh, I'm out of fucking data. Jesus. Look up Bagel Boy Boxing on Twitter.
Bagel Boy Boxing. No.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
Look it up.
Right now?
Yeah.
Like, actually do it right now?
Yeah, I want to know your reaction.
Okay. Bagel Boy Boxing.
I mean, I think that's what I call him, at least, the bagel boy.
Viral stars for bagel guy Chris Morgan to take it on in first bout.
Yeah, there's like a video of him just going nuts on a cage.
Nice. I guess he signed in a celeb boxing
league. Oh, no. Is that for real? I thought that was fake.
I guess.
It was an MMA fighter who posted the video. I just can't remember who.
Probably Derek Lewis?
No. You'd think. No, it's on Twitter.
One of the top people to fight him is Charlie Bit Off My Finger Guy or Antoine Dodson.
Charlie Bit Off My Finger Guy?
Yeah, the little... Ouch, Charlie.
He's probably like 14 now.
He's probably old as fuck now. Or, you are really dumb. Y'all are so dumb.
I'd pay to see that.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that.
And then it's got this picture of him with his knuckles up.
He's that small?
Who?
Antoine Dodson?
No, he's probably way bigger than him.
Oh. They look like a midget. A little person.
So yeah, me and Slim are going to go ahead and get into the card that will be UFC on ESPN 5. All televised on ESPN.
If I sneeze, please tweet me Gesundheit at Slimcock on Twitter.
What a weirdo. Who says stuff like that?
I need praise. I need a lot of praise.
All right, Slim, let's get into this one.
Okay, first fight of the night, we have Hannah, Queen of Sparta, Goldie, going up against Miranda, Danger Granger.
Yeah.
Wow.
You like that one?
5-0 versus 6-0.
Yeah.
The odds you want to cover. Very near even. I'll take Granger. You go Goldie first.
All right. So Hannah Goldie, coming off her last win, which was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, where she absolutely dominated Kaylee Robbins.
Who are you taking?
Hannah Goldie.
I just said, never mind. All right, go on.
Kaylee Robbins. She does also hold a notable win, which was her first professional victory over Jillian Robertson when they were both making their debut as pros.
Crazy.
So, oh, wow. She beat Amanda Lee, too. Is that Amanda KGB Lee? No, that's not. Okay, it's a different Amanda Lee. I was about to be like, wow, wow.
Damn.
But no, it was a different Amanda Lee. Anyways, Hannah Goldie, a really good striker with some fantastic takedown defense, going up against Miranda Granger. What do you got?
Miranda is an undefeated fighter. She is 6-0 as a pro. She was 5-0 as an amateur. Majority of her wins in both pro and amateur coming by finish. She really likes the ground.
Yeah, she definitely gets it done via stoppage. She has a guillotine choke in the first round, an armbar in the first round, another guillotine in the first round, knockout in the second round, and then two more first-round submissions, all on her record. So the furthest she's been in her career is 2 minutes and 51 seconds into the second round.
Jeez.
But other than that, like you said, she gets it done. 5 out of her 6 wins by submission. So we got a very, very good grappler here going up against a very, very good striker. So as I said, Slim, you know, I do my thing. How about you cut me a little slack? How about I do this for the viewers' joy, but I can change my picks?
No.
Like, why? That's stupid.
I might
stupid.
As well do mine now then.
And then if you want to change them at the end of the week, you can.
No.
That's stupid. I shouldn't have to put my picks officially in just because I'm trying to make a better episode.
We used to do it all the time.
Well, then make your picks.
Fine. I'm going with fucking Miranda Granger.
I am going to disagree. I'm going with Hannah Goldie in this one.
Wow.
I think her takedown defense is going to prevail as Miranda Granger's takedowns and wrestling are not exactly good for somebody who prefers to be on the ground. But she does very good work off her back, so she's definitely possible. She could definitely possibly get something there.
All right.
But we'll see. I'm going with Hannah Goldie. Slim is picking Miranda Granger.
Nice. Going on to the next one, we have Claudio Silva going up against Cole Williams. I will take Williams if you take Silva.
Yeah, so Claudio Silva, I believe he made his comeback after a little bit of a break there. Against Danny Roberts. I guess he was only gone for a year. It was before that he had been gone for 4 years. That's what it was. But yeah, this one's actually I think this has the biggest the biggest favorite odds for Claudio Silva. He's the biggest favorite on the card. But he only has one loss on his record, which was his very, very first fight ever, which he only lost via disqualification by illegal elbows.
Ooh.
Other than that, he is currently on a 13-fight win streak. A lot of those have come by decision, but he did get a third-round armbar over Danny Roberts and a first-round rear naked choke over Nordine Taleb. So since he's been back in the UFC, he's been getting those stoppages. Not to mention, on this win streak he has going right now, he beat Leon Edwards.
Wow.
So, I mean, Claudio Silva, a legitimate problem here in this division. What do you got on his opponent?
Cole Williams is 10-1 in his pro career. He is on a... Oh, wow, he only lost his third fight, so he's on a 7-fight win streak.
And that's to Eric Wisely, who fought in the UFC.
Right. It doesn't say how his wins were by, except for the last few. He got a flying armbar and 2-punch knockouts and a decision in his last four.
And I got him as 11-1.
It says it for mine, too, but it counts the Claudio Silva one as an 11-1.
No, that's... They count that after the win, so like his record when he fought Charlie Brown was 10-1, and then he won.
Got
so
you.
He
okay.
Moved to 11-1.
Okay. So he is on a 9-fight win streak.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take Claudio Silva.
Yeah, I think the safest pick in this one would be to go with the biggest favorite on the card. If you are betting money, I don't know about making this one the most for sure, because I don't think it is. But odds-wise, ride the hot hand here and go with Claudio Silva if you're making a straight-up pick. As the -425 favorite over the plus 315 Cole Williams.
Yeah. Going on to the next one, we have Mario Romero Borella.
Mario.
It's me.
Yeah.
Mara Romero Borella.
Yeah.
Going up against Lauren Murphy. Lauren Lucky Murphy is 10-4 so far. She is coming off of a loss.
She's been struggling as of late.
Yeah, loss of
Sajara Eubanks.
Dude,
Jesus.
I can't ever say her name. Help me out. Sajara Eubanks.
A split decision victory over Barb Honchak.
Right, and then two losses right before that. One to the former champ, and then one to Caitlin
Chukagian.
Damn, she's fought in the UFC a bunch.
Yeah, she lost to Sarah McMahon, which was a split decision. That's respectable in itself. Lost to Liz Carmouche. So her only two wins in the UFC.
Yeah,
are,
she's only 2-5 in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah, she struggled a little bit. And she doesn't exactly have a easy test coming up here in Mara Romero Borella. And I'd also like to read a little thing here, because I don't think
you wrote a poem for us?
Yes. Yes.
A haiku?
It's about Mara Romero Borella being arrested and suspended for 26 years at one point. So let me read this little article here. Borella was arrested by Italian authorities under Operation Flanker, quote unquote, for distributing and selling cocaine and cannabis at sporting venues, an operation conducted by the investigative unit of Carabinieri of Piacenza, in Emilia and Lombardy. Borella entered into plea deals in 2012 along with 33 defendants, where punishments were up to 1 and 4 years in prison. She spent a period in prison and later under house arrest for this incident. Borella was also suspended by the National Anti-Doping Agency of Italy for 15 years for distributing and selling prohibited drugs. The same agency then added an additional 11 years on the suspension for a total of 26 until 2044.
So she'll never fight in Italy.
For use of Italian sporting facilities while serving a suspension under the Italian anti-doping code, Article 412.3.
Wow.
It was reported on October 19th, 2018, that Borella was free to compete in the UFC as the United States anti-doping agency UFC anti-doping program does not consider Borella's criminal activity a violation, as it was unrelated to performance enhancement. But yeah, I don't think she's allowed to fight in Italy
ever.
Not at least until 2044.
Jeez.
But to cover her fighting, since she's joined the UFC in her three fights, she's done absolutely great, man.
Yeah.
She has beaten Kalindra Faria via submission, and then she went the distance with Tyla Santos, ended up squeaking out a split decision, and she lost to Caitlin Chookagian, who is one of the best fighters in this division.
For sure.
Let me see here. Yeah, and she also was headlining fights in Invicta before she came here. So
she'd be like 65 when she could fight in Italy again.
Yeah, that's wild.
Jeez.
But yeah, she is...
I'm sorry, 75.
She definitely has different ways of getting it done. She can do it by knockout. She can do it on the ground. The Italian is the favorite in this one, and I'm going to pick Mara Romero Barella. I think she will get this one done via unanimous decision over Lauren Murphy. The odds are Mara Romero Barella as the minus 165 favorite over Lauren Murphy, who's at a plus 135.
I'm going the same.
Slim's also picking Mara Romero Barella.
In the next fight, we got Matt Schnell going up against Jordan Espinoza.
This will be a fun one.
This will be an awesome one. Matt Danger Schnell. He is 13-4.
Nice.
He's coming off a 3-fight win streak in the UFC. Mm-hmm. He was on a 3-fight losing streak before that. So it'll be interesting to see. It looks like he made a career turnaround. He got a unanimous decision, a split decision, and a triangle choke in his last three. He's only 29 years old. What do you got on his opponent?
Yeah, this is definitely...
Oh, and he fights at American Top Team.
Right. This is definitely a story of two hot fighters meeting up.
And by the way, he lost all three of his first losses in the UFC by finish.
Yeah, in the first round, too.
And they kept him, and then he did good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Good job, Slim. You're just fantastic. His opponent...
Clipping that, too.
...is the also streaking Jordan Espinoza, who is right now on a 5-fight win streak with very impressive wins over two very, very highly respected regional fighters in CJ Hamilton and Riley Dutroux. And then he makes his UFC debut against Eric Shelton and performs really well in that one. Getting a good experienced fighter here, though, like you said, in Matt Schnell. This one is going to be a firefight. Very, very even in my eyes. I don't know. This one's kind of hard to call because Jordan Espinoza has really good ground game. He got submitted for his first two losses of his career, but since then he's definitely turned that around. He's got a nice Darce choke, but Matt Schnell on the ground, very dangerous.
Espinoza, one of the few fighters to compete twice on Dana White's Contender Series.
Yeah. Yep, he beat Nick Urso, who was also, you know, really respected on the regional scene.
And then Riley
Dutroux. Yep, I said that, Slim.
Oh.
Jeez.
Okay.
Who is this guy? I'm going to go with... Man, this one's hard. I'm going to go with Jordan Espinoza.
Fuck it. Give me Matt Schnell.
Oh, Slim and I are going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Matt Schnell. I'm going with Jordan Espinoza. Could go either way, though. Very, very close bout there.
In the next one, I like this one a lot. We got Antonina Shevchenko going up against Luis Petalova. Shevchenko.
Luis Petalova. Lucy.
What is... Lucy Petalova. Shevchenko coming off her first L in her career after going 7-0 against Roxanne Modafferi, who really kind of exposed her clinch and ground game.
Yeah.
Absolutely unmatched on the striking, but I think Lucy might be able to do something here.
Well, Lucy's lost her last two fights, Liz Carmouche and Irene Aldana, two really, really good fighters. Her only two career losses before that were to Lena Landsberg, but she's 2-3 in the UFC, taking on a, you know, rising prospect here in Antonina. I think it's going to end up being a pretty good stand-up bout, a lot of clinch work, and but for the most part, I do think it's going to stay on the feet. Give me Antonina Shevchenko in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. Antonina Shevchenko is currently sitting as the minus 160 favorite over the plus 130 Lucy Petalova. Let's move on to the next one. This is going to be a good bout. This is the headlining bout here on the preliminary card. It'll be a welterweight clash between Mickey Gall making his comeback against Salim Tuari, who is 0-2 in the UFC, I believe. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Slim's butthole sounding wild right now.
Oh, spicy. Jesus.
What is going on with that beer? Somebody trying to kill you?
I accidentally flipped it. It was fucking formaldehyde in it.
Jeez, I guess. Somebody help my
guy.
You
want to know some weird shit?
What?
At my work, so we replaced our escalator, right? I'm sure you see my videos of it. Like, the escalator's just chilling.
Sure.
So we had to have the store open for the last few nights overnight because they had to do abatement. Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
No.
When they remove asbestos from the tile underneath.
Oh, wow. Bless you.
Please tweet me, Grizzly Knight. So we so yeah, we had a bunch of asbestos beneath our feet and they had to get rid of it.
That's not good, Slim. No. What the fuck are they trying to
if
do?
If you or a loved one have been affected by mesothelioma.
Attention. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with mesothelioma, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer linked to asbestos exposure. Exposure to asbestos in the Navy, shipyards, mills, heating, construction, or the automotive industries may have put you at risk. Please don't wait. Call 1-800-99-LAW-USA for a free legal consultation and financial information packet. Mesothelioma patients call now. 1-800-99-LAW-USA.
Anyway, the call king, Mickey Gall, is 5-2 so far in his UFC career or MMA career. Yep. He is. I play that off nicely.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
All right, cool. He is 4-2 in the UFC so far. Coming off that loss.
What the fuck?
Man, I'm burpy.
What the
Coming off that loss against Diego Sanchez. You know, I think Mickey is due for a comeback. That was only back in March, but he's up against a decent opponent here.
Yeah, Salim Tuari, Grizzly. Now, he's 0-2 in his UFC tenure. Listen to how many fights have been canceled since his fifth fight. And we'll just go with, that was a sixth fight, sorry.
Was it his fault, or?
It doesn't say who pulled, but these are canceled bouts. He had two canceled bouts. And then had a fight. He had two more canceled bouts, which brings it to four.
In the UFC?
No, this is just in his career. And then he had a fight. He had two more canceled bouts. That brings it to six. And then he had a fight. He had another one in between those fights. So that brings it to seven. And then he had another one in between that fight. That brings it to eight. And then he had another one in between his next fight. That brings it to nine. He's never... It goes up to 11. He's never had a fight not canceled in between one of his fights.
Jeez.
Since his sixth fight.
That's wild.
Just apparently bad luck. If there's going to be a fight that gets canceled, I'm guessing it's this one.
Yeah. Fuck. But please don't jinx that.
Yeah. Salim Tuari definitely likes to keep it standing. So we're going to get a battle of grappler versus striker here. He has wins by punch to the body. Just a lot of knockout victories before he came to the UFC. He's also won via arm triangle and rear naked. But for the most part, he gets it done via knockout. So
you know what? I think Mickey Gall has fought more quality of UFC veterans at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's went the distance, or he fought Diego Sanchez, went the distance with Randy Brown. He beat Sage Northcutt and George Sullivan as well. I think Mickey Gall is going to get this done.
A&A MMA going to disagree on this one.
Ooh.
I'm going to pick Salim Tuari in this one.
You going against the call-out king, boy?
Yeah, I'm going with the striker on this one. I think he's going to be able to hold Mickey off if they do go to the ground, but for the most part, he's going to do his best to keep it standing.
Prop bet, Mickey Gall calls out Kamaru Usman.
But yeah, I see Mickey Gall, if he does pull this one off, it's going to be... grinding it out from the top. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull off the rear naked choke that he's gotten every single one of his victories as a pro by. But we'll see. We'll see. The odds are currently sitting as Salim Tuari is the favorite at -135 with Mickey Gall sitting as the +105 underdog. But very close odds. Very close odds.
Nice. Going to this next one, we got Darko Stojic going up against Kennedy inject you in inject you
is a Chekwu.
We recently saw Nzechekwu succumb to Paul Craig's last minute
pull it together.
Sort yourself out. we saw Nzechekwu succumb to Paul Craig's last minute submission that he's famous for at this point, which is his first loss in MMA. Triangle choke at the end of the third round. There's only like 40 seconds left.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good in that fight, but he looked kind of green at the same time. He's 27 years old, but 6'5", 205. Like, he fits the description of a light heavyweight heavy. Darko Stojcic, however, was 13-2. He is coming off a loss against Devin Brown Bear Clark, mm-hmm. but he was on an insane fight win streak before that. 1, yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Dating back to 2014.
Yeah, against pretty good competition, too, nonetheless. Once he came to the UFC, he got that victory, ground and pound victory over Jeremy Kimball in the first round, but met a really good wrestler there in Devin Clark, who was able to, you know, stuff some of his takedowns, kind of challenge him that way. Another, ooh, why'd you bring that over here, Slim?
Bless.
Why'd you do that? Another really good striker versus grappler matchup here. Ooh, this one's hard to call. This is going to be...
I'm going to take Kennedy.
You know what? I'm calling this one as my... Ooh, I don't know, because we got the headliner. I'll give this one my dark horse pick for fight of the night.
Okay, I like it.
But I'm going to agree with you, Slim. I think I'm going to go with Kennedy Nzechekwu in this one. But the odds makers don't see it that way right now. Darko Stojcic sitting as the minus 135 favorite over the close underdog Kennedy Nzechekwu at plus 105.
Yeah, he's got more experience. I get it.
Yep. Let's move on to the next one.
We have Hot Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he been? I haven't seen him in a while. Scott Holtzman going up against Donghyun Ma.
Yeah, so you want to go ahead and take your boy Hot Sauce?
I got Hot Sauce. He's 35 in the lightweight division. He just come off a loss against Nick Lentz, but he was on a 3-fight win streak before that.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Alan Alvarez, Derek Horcher, and Michael McBride. Two of those were decisions. One was a knockout by elbows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, coming off that loss against Nick Lentz, he's only 12-3 in his UFC career. Like I said, he's 35. He's getting up there.
Yeah. I mean, his only losses are to really, really good fighters here. Drew Dober, Josh Emmett. I mean, the best of the best. Whereas Donghyun Ma, last time we saw him was when he got TKO'd by our boy Devontae Smith.
Okay, but who's beating him?
Yeah, nobody. Not anybody
right
now. I
can't wait to see his next fight.
Which is in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
First John McDessie. That's going to be a banger, man.
He's going to knock his socks off.
Yeah. But Donghyun Ma was doing really good in the UFC. I mean, started off pretty rough there where he suffered that slam knockout and then got knocked out by Marco Polo Reyes. Started 0-2, but then went on a 3-fight tear that included a win over Takanori Gomi. But you know what?
That was back in 2017, though.
Yeah, I mean,
so he's only fought once a year since 2016.
Yeah, not too active in that regard. But what do they do? They don't have a fucking odds
and he's
for this
30.
One.
That's interesting.
That's weird. They don't
South
have fucking
Korean.
Odds for this one on here.
You know what? I'm gonna take Hot Sauce.
I'm going to agree with this one. ANA MMA going to agree. We're going with Scott. Hot Sauce Holtzman on this one.
Hot, hot, hot.
The sauce is hot.
On to the next fight. We're four away from the main event. We got Gerald Meerschaert.
GM3.
Going up against Trevin Giles. Gerald Meerschaert is on a 2-fight losing streak to Kevin Holland and Jack Hermanson. He did have two
respectable
wins.
Fighters, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He did have two wins before that.
What's his name?
Oscar Picciolotta and Eric
Picciolta,
Spicely.
Yeah.
Piachota and Eric Spicely. Before that, he did knock out Eric Spicely too,
mm-hmm.
And he finished Oscar. So, you know, Gerald Meerschaert, absolutely a threat. He's only 31
Definitely.
Years old, 28-11. That's a huge experience record.
Definitely.
But he's going up against Trevin Giles.
Yeah. So Trevin Giles, man,
the
I
problem.
Mean, his
I'm a problem.
His record speaks for itself. He's got wins over Brendan Allen, who just got a contract on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. He has been in the UFC for a while. He beat Ryan Spann for a championship in the LFA, beat James Bokhnovic in his debut, came back and beat Antonio Braga Neto with punches. I mean, scary man, but of course he did suffer that setback for his first career loss. What is that? Stop it. Jeez.
What, do you hear it loud?
Yes. And then he suffered his last loss, or his first loss, to Zach Cummings, who got him with a guillotine choke in the third round. But, man, I just don't see this one going Mearshart's way. Trevin Giles, just a lot of power behind his punches. We saw in his last fight, he can be tired out if you can get him into that third round, but Mearshart also goes for it himself. I mean, most of his wins are by stoppage, so you know he's right. going to be, and he gets stopped a lot too when he loses, so you know it's going to be an absolute banger. This one could even be a fight of the night candidate.
For sure.
But I'm going with Trevin Giles in this one.
I will do the same.
ANA MMA going to agree. We're going with the favorite, not by too much, minus 155 for Trevin Giles, and Gerald Mearshart, the current underdog, at plus 125.
I'm switching pods. You might have to talk me around this one. But on to the next one. We got Joaquim Silva going up against Nasrat Hasparat.
What?
Nasrat Hasparat. How bad did I butcher that? What do you mean?
Oh, that was so bad. That was
Nasrat
fucking...
Nasrat Hasparat.
It's Hasparat.
Harassed. I didn't see the
T. Nasrat Hasparat.
Little rat-a-tat, rat-a-kate. You know what I'm saying?
You are silly for that one.
All right. Anyway, so we got Joaquim Silva. He is coming off a win over Jared Flash Gordon. Big win in the third round. He did have a loss to Vince Michel right before that, but he was on a 3-fight winning streak in the UFC before that. 2 decisions, 1 knockout. What do you got on Hex? Parats.
Nasrat Hasparat making his 4th UFC appearance here in this fight, coming off a fight of the night with the Balt goatee, where it was an absolute banger. He also has a win over Mark DeCasey.
Nuts.
2-1 in his UFC career. Only lost to Marcin Held, which was a unanimous decision in Poland, where Held is from. So. Cut him some slack on that one.
And he was on like a 9-fight win streak before that.
Yeah, he was on an 8-fight win streak before that one. This one's going to be a very, very good fight. We know that Silva is going to be trying his best to get it on the ground, even though he does have devastating punching power. He is known for his jiu-jitsu as well.
Nasrat is only 23 with 12 fights under his belt.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a beast, man. And he's going up against somebody with a lot of punching power here. This one's pretty hard to call. I'm going to let you go first, Slim.
I'm
going to
pick Joaquim Silva.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one.
Oh!
I'm going with Nasrat Hasparat. And Slim is picking Joaquim Silva in this one, but that's going to be a banger. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Make sure you tune in for that one.
Don't I have that? I thought I had that.
In the next fight.
This one is...
staying in the lightweight division.
Probably my favorite on the card.
Oh, really? This is your favorite one on the card?
This is my favorite one on the card. These are the legends. Yeah. This is the legend division.
This is a huge...
This is the shit that Vitor tried to come up with.
Yeah, this is a huge legends bout right here.
We got Clay the Carpenter Guida going up against Jim Miller. Whoa. These guys have had probably more fights in the Octagon than anyone else combined. Clay the Carpenter Guida come off that win against BJ Penn.
Yep.
Yeah. Did take that L to Charles Vera, but when he moved up to lightweight, he beat Eric Koch. And he also beat Joe Lozon.
Yeah, right.
It definitely turns out he's better at lightweight than he is at featherweight. And then we got Jim Miller, who's just always been a lightweight. That's always been his main thing.
Right. So, of course, he has his ups and downs. He suffered that 4-fight losing streak, and then he beat Alex White, lost to Charles Oliveira, came back against Jason Gonzalez, and got a first-round
stoppage. And that one was so important because his kids were there, and, like, it was so cool.
Right. I mean, he really only struggles against, like, literally the best fighters in this division. I mean, Benson Henderson, Nate Diaz, Cerrone, Dariush. His losses are only to the best. Dustin Poirier, Anthony Pettis. I mean, it goes on and on. The question is, Clay Guida at that level right now?
You know, 2 years ago, I think he was, but he kind of took... I guess he only took like 3 months off for the Charles Oliveira fight, and then three more months before he fought BJ Penn.
Right.
But the BJ Penn win was not...
It was almost a year. It was almost a year in between those fights.
What, Joe? He fought Joe in November 2017.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then Charles, January... Oh, yeah, you're right. It was a year before the Charles Oliveira and BJ Penn fight. You're right. You know, I think we'd have had it for a second. But I think he kind of lost it. He could have finished BJ Penn. He didn't.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Jim Miller in this one.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going to pick Jim Miller, who's currently sitting as the minus 180 favorite over Clay Guida, who's sitting as a plus 150.
This next fight's important.
Very.
Very important.
Title implications on the line.
For one.
I mean, hey, Robbie Lawler, bro, with a win over Colby Covington?
True.
That shoots him right up there.
The current interim champ?
Shoots him right up there.
So we got Colby Chaos Covington coming back, MAGA hat and all, yep, on a 6-fight win streak. The, I guess, former interim champion. He still wears that belt very proudly, going up against Robbie Lawler. I was shocked when they made this fight. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure that they were going to make Colby versus Usman the first title defense for Usman. And they went with this.
Yep.
It really took me by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Usman going to face? What's going on here?
That's what I'm wondering.
The winner of this? Maybe in November. I know he said he's going to come back in November.
Or Masvidal.
It kind of has to be Masvidal at this point. But the winner, if Colby wins again, I mean... Usman already said, hey, I know Colby's my teammate, but listen, I'm in here to win money and provide for my family, and this is business.
Yeah.
So I will fight Colby. Colby not really having the same attitude against Jorge Masvidal. However, Robbie Lawler, former American Top Team trainee, you know, Colby and Robbie have fought together, or trained together, rather.
Kamaru isn't a teammate with, he's not at American Top Team.
I didn't say Kamara. I said Robbie. Robbie and Colby.
Robbie's not an American Top Team either.
He was.
Yeah, right. But that's like Colby's whole like thing that he's like building this fight up.
Right.
With.
That's what I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
So.
I ruined it.
Jeez. Anyway. Apparently, Colby coming out and saying that Robbie Lawler was with the American Top Team until they put a picture up of Tyron Woodley in the gym knocking out Robbie Lawler. And he left the gym. That's the rumor. Robbie Lawler has yet to confirm this. He said he kind of just left for his own reasons. Whatever. Not really feeding into that. But Colby adamant on that is why the reason why he left American Top Team. Robbie Lawler on a little bit of a losing streak as of late. Since coming back and looking crazy over Donald Cerrone. Lost to RDA and Ben Askren. Even though that one was pretty controversial, right. But you know, Colby on that 6-fight win streak,
yeah, dude, 9-1 in the UFC.
If he can do what RDA did, which okay, so Colby beat RDA,
right?
Dominantly, right. Got him in the clinch, got him in the takedowns, whatever. Robbie couldn't beat RDA, who also had a similar game plan,
right?
I think Colby takes this.
I agree. A&A MMA going to go both go.
We don't like him.
No.
But we're going to side with him.
Yeah, like if I'm giving you guys betting picks here, that's why I'm going with this. Otherwise, like if it was just me and Slim.
It's human trash.
I could literally.
He gets knocked the fuck out.
Since I'm sitting up pretty, +5 on Slim, I would love to pick Robbie Lawler here just to fuck around. But
where you at, boy? Throw your nuts in the fucking ring.
I'm going with Colby Covington in this one.
Huh.
I do think this is gonna be a really good card, dude.
Yeah, I know. I like this one for sure. A lot better than that fucking pay per view we watched.
Dude, not to mention Jeez. The week after there's a championship fight.
I know.
A free one.
Wait, it's free?
Yeah.
What?
Valentino versus Liz Carmouche.
You're right.
Just on ESPN Plus.
Just there?
Just there for our taking.
Wow. I had a lot of trouble trying to access the prelims to watch ESPN Plus on this last one.
Let's hear your complaints.
So, went to ESPN Plus. You know, I use Chrome. My shit saves, like, my history.
Yeah.
So, usually, like, I, you know, go to certain websites. It auto goes to where I was before, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, when I'm on, like, Fight Pass, I'm already logged in. I can just watch any past fight that I wanted to.
Right.
When I'm on ESPN, I log in. I can just watch, like, anything live going on right now.
Right.
Well,
right.
Apparently, the prelims were, like, hidden as fuck.
Hmm.
So, they had, like, a little tab on the side, like, oh, UFC 240. Cool. So, I clicked that. It's trying to get me to buy the pay-per-view. I had to dig and dig and dig. I had to go in the MMA tab of ESPN. I had to, like, find live events. I had to do all the shit just to find the prelims, which was bullshit.
Very.
Now, this is on my computer. On the app, it's actually a lot easier. It just shows, like, hey, everything's live right here. Mm-hmm. You can click on anything. But on my computer, when I tried to, because I was, like, you know, trying to stream it to the TV and shit.
Yeah.
Dude.
Just not going well.
A hassle.
Jeez.
Like, I'm not buying this pay-per-view.
Why are they doing that?
And they wanted to charge me $80.
Why are they doing that?
Like, yeah, you save like 15%, dog. I'm like, no. $80 for 3 months of ESPN Plus is not worth that.
They're sounding a little bit off to me, Slim. I think you need to check that out. And write a well-worded letter.
That's my style.
Hmm.
Let me speak to your manager.
Yeah. You definitely have one of those haircuts.
What? It's you, if anything, Mr. Flat Top. Buzz cut. Just give me the three all around.
It's cheap.
It's cheap.
Because it's free.
Fair enough.
That's fair. Yeah, that was UFC on ESPN 5. Slim and I are allowed to change our picks.
No! That's it. They're cemented now. I made mine, you made yours. That's it.
What if somebody like dies at fucking...
Then the fight is off. What do you mean?
But what if somebody misses weight really bad, like we saw with the Aspen Ladd and GDR? You don't want to be able to change that?
I still have one switch available because you made one switch available last year.
This is a whole different party.
No.
I mean, you can use it because you need every fucking little piece
I'll be
of
right.
help you
can I'll be get. All right. What do we disagree on, two? Only two the same?
So, we disagreed on... Sorry, I was looking at some other stuff. I got excited and started looking ahead. You took Miranda Granger and I took Hannah Goldie, so yes. That is going to be the first disagreement of the night. We both went with Mara Romero Barella. Slim took... Did you take Matt Schnell? You took Matt Schnell.
Danger? Yeah.
And I took Jordan Espinoza, so that's our second disagreement of the night. We both went with Antonina Shevchenko, and Slim picked the call-out kid, Mickey Gall, with me disagreeing, going with Salim Tuari. We both went with Kennedy Enzachukwu. We both went with Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. We both went with Trevin Giles. Slim picked Joaquim Silva, and I picked Nasrat Haqparast. We both went with Jim Miller over Clay Guida, and we're both going with Colby Covington, unfortunately, over... Robbie Lawler.
Unfortunately. Nice. All right. Here's my chance to
We got four disagreements. So you're either. Oh, and we both picked Claudio Silva.
I'm about to get back to one, boy.
Yeah, or fall all the way back to nine. How's that sound?
None of that.
You probably won't want to record next week if that happens.
I'll just quit.
Yeah.
I'll just give you At all that point, shit. All this equipment. Well. Yeah.
Ooh, I get paid next week, don't I? What is that? I think you only got like two more payments left.
I've been paid you off. Fuck you. You
paid me off?
Yeah.
Oh, Slim, I can
check your PayPal balance right now.
You did send me 40 last time.
Right. That was it.
I don't think so.
That was it.
I think you still owe me at least another 20.
No.
We're going to check the...
certainly don't.
We're going to go...
check the records.
On
the books.
All right. So...
this man's trying to... Man, Loan Shark Monty!
Trying to get
his
ass.
He's trying to break my shins.
All right. So, your activity. Money in. since June 7th, I've gotten... Oh, only 4 payments.
Yeah. No.
Of 20. I got it right here, bro.
What do you mean?
I got it right here. Oh.
I sent you 3 of 20 and then 1 in the same day of 20 and 20.
Slam, I got it right here, baby.
What do you mean? Because you... No way.
Give you my money in. Check it. Only 4 payments of $20 there by Slim.
He's lying, y'all.
He owes me a fresh 20 next week to get himself...
Well,
damn. He's like, fuck.
You added $187 to your account.
From DraftKings? Yeah. Hell yeah, baby.
Fuck that.
I won. That's when I won.
That's ridiculous. $250. You even said I paid you off, and you're thankful.
No, I... Yeah, you paid me, finally. Fucker. After like 3 weeks.
Fucker, fine.
So, I'll take some finally gets paid up next week. Let's get next Friday. Yeah, we know your pay schedule at this point, I guess.
Do you?
I guess.
Requesting shit on my off weekend? Like I can afford that.
I'm putting it in there somehow.
You know how much I use the earning app?
I gotta press you somehow, bro.
This payment from Jeff Hughes' wife is gonna be like what makes me. Like I'm gonna get back on track now.
Really?
Yeah.
And you can't fuck it up, though.
What? No.
DJing.
I gotta... I'm real nervous.
Yeah.
I need your help, Pat.
I ain't talking or nothing.
You're not talking? I'll do the talking.
Yeah.
I'm a smooth talker.
I'll get a playlist ready and shit.
No, I'm doing that. I'm just saying I need your help with, like, you know... additions, like, oh, I got these songs lined up. Do you have anything else you think will be for this crowd?
Yeah, that's why I'll make a playlist.
Right.
Just in case.
Sure.
And I'll just be smoked out, drunk as fuck.
Hell yeah.
But you can't get drunk.
No.
Like yeah.
No.
No.
I got a job to do.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can have a...
I'm making more tonight than I have in, on this night than I will in, like, 4 days of work.
That's nice. So, you need to not... You can drink. I mean, you know, have a little bit of fun.
I know my levels. When I'm driving, I know what I'm doing now. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, but you get pretty slaughtered. Pretty incoherent.
Pretty slaughtered? Nick slaughtered. Too tight. Too tight.
I got a lot of funny stories about him. Oh, I also want to announce, as of, I think it was like 2 days ago, me and Jack will be... attending the Cannabis Cup in Detroit on August 17th through the 19th.
Are you serious?
Going to the Cannabis Cup.
Dude, you're about to die.
It's basically about to be like two kids in a candy store.
You're about to die.
I'm just about to be getting handed all kinds of accessories.
You're about to take slabs of shatter and just fucking lose your mind.
Oh, dude, it's going to be crazy.
Like that time you said last week about you on the beach?
Yeah.
Ugh.
You didn't mention the one time I said I was so high I thought I was you.
No, I didn't. I didn't know if that was a joke or you were serious.
Am I Slim or Monty?
Did you send me a goddamn request again?
No.
Okay.
I might have accidentally hit something.
Jesus Christ.
But let that sit in there for a week. And then you're all paid up, Slim. And then you're going to have to fall into another $100 hole here soon.
No. Bro, we're 2 months in.
Yeah. And you're struggling.
How did I start last time, bud?
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been dominating you for like 6 months now.
Okay,
like
but
6 months straight.
Since we restarted, it's
you
only
had
been
like
two.
A good like two. You jumped out to a little lead, but like now I'm just so
it's fine.
So far ahead.
It's
of you.
Fine. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Well, we got 4 disagreements here on this next one. So, you want to do a DraftKings this week too?
Might as well.
Cool. I'll make sure I set that up. Get Chad and Jack's goofy asses in there.
Right.
But what else? I don't have any other touch-ups here, I don't think.
So Chris Cyborg feels like her brand is being diminished by the UFC.
Yeah. She also said something about Dana bullying her.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, she thinks that Dana White is saying, I don't blame Chris Cyborg for being scared to take the fight as a little, like, scare tactic is like, what? I'll take the fight. I'll do it.
Yeah. Did you see Cyborg was wearing the Cyborg versus Nunes 2 shirt already, though, right after the fight?
She had it off rip.
And would it say, like, something 20? Just say, did it just say, coming 2020.
Yeah, it said 2020. She wants to do the January card. But yeah, no, fucking good for Cyborg for standing her ground, because she don't
for sure.
She don't play no shit.
The fans were actually,
who's she scared of?
Nobody.
Like, yeah, she got knocked out. She got caught. Okay, it's Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
Best in the world.
Right. But them running it back has even more hype than the first one, I feel like.
Exactly, because that was a quick first round
knockout.
And that
gave Amanda Nunes even more hype.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean.
We'll see. If the UFC even chooses to re-sign her, maybe it's like a one-fight deal, and then Cyborg just goes, going to one championship.
Right.
Go to Bellator.
Yeah, right.
That or the PFL. Bro, Cyborg at 155 against Kayla Harrison?
Wow. That's...
Cyborg would win $1 million quick.
Wow, maybe she'll do that. If I was her, that's what I'd do.
Absolutely. Like, UFC ain't doing me right. Let me win $1 million real
you
quick.
You see how Kayla Harrison's getting promoted over there?
Mm-hmm.
Good call, Slim.
Pooh.
There's another one of our predictions.
Predictions, yeah. Early fucking look out for that. Cyborg PFL 2020.
Right, literally. But
in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could definitely happen, and I also agree with good for her for standing her ground against Dana.
Right. What the fuck? That's just weird.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll...
BJ Penn's getting another fight.
Oh, yeah, I saw that against Nick Lentz. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a lot of beef that Nick feels right. Like there's no beef, but BJ does, so...
No, did you hear what Nick Lentz said today, though?
Today, no.
He called him a dirtbag. He said, here, let me get the clip. Hold on.
Jeez, called him a dirtbag?
Yeah, he went in, bro, like hard.
Dana White coming out and saying at the post-fight interview of 240 that win, lose, or draw, this is BJ Penn's last fight in the UFC. He said, if he goes anywhere else, it's none of my business. I don't care. But it is his last fight in the UFC, no matter what the outcome is.
Oh, of course it won't. Just give me the clip. I'm going to have to fucking go in and find it.
Hmm. What interview was this? Was this Errol Hawani's?
Yeah, today.
Oh, shit. That figures.
Is it really the whole... Oh, my gosh. Why? Why can't I just get a clip of it? All right, this is Nick Lentz on BJ Penn. This was today on Errol Hawani's show.
You know, I'm the only person who's ever cared about BJ. Everyone else just throws him to the wolf. Everyone else is like, oh, he's such a legend. You know, but I'm the only person who actually gave him a dose of reality. I said, no, you're not a legend. You're a dirtbag. You're a drug addict. You don't take care of your family. You don't take care of your fans. You do nothing good for nobody. And you need to get your shit together. But the media and everyone has just dragged him along and gave him this confidence that it doesn't matter what innocent person he beats up. It doesn't matter if he goes to the strip club and is mean to women and they kick him out. But then he beats up the bouncers and he has his little handlers that save him and stuff, you know? It's ridiculous. So the second the UFC reached out to me, I think they reached out to me on Saturday and said, you know, like, hey, would you be interested
towards
in this?
The front a little more.
Of course I'd be interested in this. I told you guys were going to be calling me. I knew I would be the guy to take BJ out, to actually retire him.
Wow. Spicy words by Nick Lentz.
Yeah, said he doesn't take care of his family. Jeez.
Called him a drug addict? So he beats up bouncers?
Yeah, so there was a lot of talk there.
I mean, we saw the video of him beating up the bouncer, but...
Yeah.
Damn! Nick Lentz, going hard. Okay, going in, yeah. Building up some hype with this. Maybe BJ gets some last few pay-per-view points.
Ooh.
Until he gets out of here.
Nah.
Nah. No one wants to see that.
But yeah.
The demolition of BJ Penn.
Yeah, definitely build in some hype behind it.
No, Nick Lentz is... Nick Lentz. Nick Lentz is going to demolish BJ Penn.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
That's scary. Jeez. Well, all right, guys, for us, we're out here. Any sign-offs?
Shout out to Spyro, my cat.
Nice. Shout out to Toach Day Skateboarding. Shout out Seth. Get me on the show this weekend at the Outpost in Kent. It's going to be with fucking Portals. Have you heard Portals? No. They're from like Indiana. Dude, they're fucking disgusting. Bass drops out the ass. Van Ever's last show. I love those guys. I'm really sad to see them break up. But I understand the reasons why. Freely Spoken's obviously going to be there. And then like one other person I can't quite tell off the tongue. And then the weekend after that, bro, I'm headed out to PA. You coming?
When?
On Saturday, Friday night.
depends on Browns.
Hmm. Well, I'm staying there Saturday, too, because I'm hanging out with H Money. Because we're going to do a bunch of records and shit. A bunch of jugs in the woods. Do a bunch of records we talked about. It's going to be me, Chance, Chanel, and H Money. Dude, fucking... This man H Money put me after Chance.
Why?
I don't know. He really believes in me. I was like, thanks, but you sure? I mean, I'm confident in my set, but I'm just saying, like, Chance does bring the hype stuff. And I'm just going to like, hey, guys, let's settle down for my set.
Let's talk about fingering buttholes.
Just listen to my lyrics. Lyrics. That's going to be a good time. Hell yeah, guys. All right, for A&MMA, I am Slim.
It's your boy, Monty.
And we're signing out.
We out of here.
Bye.
Peace.